The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Smartcast. You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Welcome to A View from the Stands, a podcast series in which we discuss the new normal in the world of sports. I'm Aditya Iyer, and with me is the national sports editor of HD, Rudraneel Sengupta. After the heartbreak at Lord's from 2 years ago, Kane Williamson finally delivered for New Zealand what he and they had been promising since Melbourne 2015, an ICC title. And it was the big one, the inaugural World Test Championship final, making Williamson's New Zealand the first ever champions of a 140-year-old format, which of course puts him in the same league of cricket pioneers as West Indies' Clive Lloyd, who captained the first ever 50-over champions in 1975, and India's MS Dhoni, who did the same for T20 cricket in 2007. So without much ado, welcome to this episode, and join me in bringing in Somshubhra Laha, who witnessed the madness at Lord's live in 2019 and covered the subsequent redemption for HD as well during this test match in Southampton. Rudra, unfortunately, can't be joining us as he tells me that he lost his voice, which I presume is from all the shouting during this absolutely manic final day of a test match in Southampton. Which nicely brings me to my first question to you, Som. The scorecard says that New Zealand won by 8 wickets, but it wasn't quite as straightforward as that now. Your thoughts on this very crazy day 6?
It lived up to its billing. I mean, the kind of cricket that both teams produced was extraordinary. I mean, you have to give it to the New Zealand team. But, you know, India, they have been so good away from home. You know, it's really, really refreshing. And I mean, it's so heartening to see India do well. I mean, they lost the match, but this is a fair contest. I mean, they had to... They had to push for a victory. They had to go for shots. I mean, you don't expect Cheteshwar Pujara to get out so easily. I mean, that was a very good ball, but he knows how to defend well. So, I mean, the circumstances were such that India played a little aggressively because they wanted the win. But this is a great game of cricket. I mean, such a great award for Test cricket. I mean, this is the best format.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely. Yeah, well summed up. That was day 6. We have a lot more to discuss and unearth here. So let me take you back to the very beginning, Som. A very frustrating beginning, all things considered, with the rain. But I thought it was pretty cool that the ICC thought of a reserve day for this contest, which you've already touched upon a little bit. And thank God for that reserve day. So here's my question. How frustrating is it for you to sit through these annual washouts of entire days every time India tours England? And can this reserve day concept become more of a norm? Because, you know, it truly did save this final, WTC final, from ignominy.
Well, if you look at the history of ICC tournaments, they've always had reserve days. But since this is a test match, obviously there's some novelty attached to it. But there was a super test in 2005, I think, between Australia and ICC World 11. That had a 6-day schedule as well. So I mean, it's a good concept. I mean, thankfully, because it is England, it was put to use. In any other country, say neutral venue like a UAE, it wouldn't have been used. But you know, the ICC should actually put some more thought to, you know, hosting such important finals. I mean, the venue-wise, so unnerving. I mean, absolutely irritating, of course, but also very unnerving. I mean, you don't know. And this, you know, you have to switch on and switch off. This, you know, affects your game. And this affects the best in the game. So it is something that you can wish away. You want to wish away. And you want to, you know, probably, you know, look for a better venue, a drier venue. Probably, you know, where you know that, you know, almost certain that, you know, 5 days, you won't have much rain. That is the first thing that ICC should look into. And given the, you know, we've had a World Cup final in UK in 2019. The Champions Trophy final was also in 2017. There have always been a chance of rain. And summer in England, is, you know, there's always this nagging rain, you know. It's not a downpour, but it's always a nagging rain that, you know, messes up
the
all
the worst kind.
The worst kind. Actually, the worst kind. The ICC should look into this. They should probe other venues. I know this is a pandemic. You know, they have an on-site hotel, a great hotel, and a restaurant named after Ian Botham. They should look at other probabilities, other venues, other options.
That's right. So you spoke about it from the perspective of the players and how frustrating it is. But, you know, as a viewer who's watching on TV, I can most certainly say that if not for this reserve day, day six, as Soam put it, with the first day washed out, we would basically have ended the test match with India a couple of wickets down and Kohli and Rohit batting at the end of what was the traditional day five. But all that rain certainly spiced this pitch up. And for a while there, for a lot of us viewers, it felt like watching Kirtley Ambrose every time, you know, Kyle Jameson ran into bowl. You know, the length he was bowling, the bounce he was generating, his lethality in general. Soam, your take on his 5-4 in the first innings, and how much of a role did that play in shaping the narrative of this test match?
Well, you also have to take into account the batting of the tail, the so-called lower order. That is where India have been lackluster over the years, especially away from home. And I think there was a statistic yesterday where New Zealand produced what 100 plus runs for the last 3 wickets in the last 3 years,
right,
as opposed to India, who were not so good in the last three, number eight to number 10. Both teams knew that the pitch was going to be difficult, not because of the just because of the pitch, but also because of the overhead condition.
Yeah,
and India were bold. I mean, India were bold to go in with a proper balanced attack, two spinners, you know, and you know, almost two days ahead of the actual game began. But I somehow think that they should have been a little not defensive, but they should have been skeptical of the conditions, and they should have probably added an extra batsman in the form of, say, Hanuma Vihari. But the problem is that we somehow tend to see Vihari as a defensive option.
That's right.
And that somehow, you know, blinds our view, you know, that somehow inhibits our, you know, plans. I know it's in hindsight, but if you now look at the scorecard, Jadeja didn't do much.
Yeah.
Either with the ball or with the bat. And sending Jadeja ahead of, I mean, that was a huge statement. I don't think Jadeja lived up to that expectation.
Right.
It's unfair to, you know, expect him to just, you know, go hammer and tongs, you know. But this is a one-off test. I mean, this is, you know, a win-all situation. You have to score runs. You need to do what you are expecting.
Okay, fine. So I promise you I'll come to more India-related questions in just a little bit. I want to finish off with, you know, the Kiwis and their achievement. So it brings me nicely to Devon Conway, right? I mean, he's had a magical start to his test career, and that dream run in England continued with his 50 in the first innings during New Zealand's reply to our innings. Your thought on that knock, and just generally tell me about Conway before I ask you about Kane Williamson's twin masterclasses.
I mean, Yeah, I mean, what a story. Packing your bags, leaving your country for a different, completely different environment, you know, starting from scratch. This is a truly inspiring story, actually. And to start off your career with a double 100 in England, of all places. And New Zealand have been known for, bringing a balanced opening attack. You know, Brendan McCullum is one of the few belligerent batsmen. Conway is not that sort. He's not as attacking. He knows which balls to leave. And he has a certain problem when, bowlers come round the wicket to him. But Conway has given New Zealand the license to, score more freely in the beginning. So, which is kind of what they needed this test because since Tom Latham is so ultra conservative at times.
He is, yeah.
You need a Conway to like balance it out. Yeah, I mean, over the two innings, I mean, the way he countered Ishant, Shami especially. I mean, Shami was brilliant. I mean, he was bringing the ball into him at times. So he was really, really, he looked assured.
Right. And that weakness that you spoke about was beautifully exploited by Ishant in the first innings. I mean, and as much as Mohammad Shami did with the ball, I think that catch was quite integral in keeping New Zealand down to, that 30-run lead. A lot of those runs, of course, came because of Williamson's 49. When you throw some light on his innings, Soam, can you also tell us a little bit about what it perhaps meant to him, to be this winning captain of the first ever World Test Championship final? And what does breaking that streak of losses in ICC finals also mean to him?
I think Kane Williamson is a very unique character. He has the ability to dissociate himself from the game. And that is also what the New Zealand cricket culture is about. They are very passionate about the game, but they can also dissociate themselves from the game once they leave the field. I mean, they know they have a life after that, and they may have to do a job after retiring from cricket. Cricket in New Zealand is not like cricket in India. I mean, let's accept, their rugby is a religion.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and they have a fairly successful football team. So these guys, these cricketers are not prima donnas. I mean, they are like normal people there. And they're also, as a culture, they are not after records or achievements. They have always been a very, very good team. So, and as a leader of this team, I think Kane Williamson views himself more as a leader of than as a brilliant batsman, which he is. I mean, he is one of the best top two batsmen right now.
Yeah.
Williamson, for him, I think defeat in 2019 was the worst that could have happened to him as a captain. And,
and he took it beautifully. He took it on his chin, didn't he? Like, there was a lot of appreciation for how he dealt with that. And when I say loss, I say it in quote marks because, there wasn't a loss even after the Super Over was bowled.
I was about to say that. I mean, from a player's perspective, we don't know what a player thinks. It's 24/7 cricket for them. So they tend to analyze the game slightly different from how we view from our perspective. So they must have told themselves that we didn't lose the game. It was just a weird rule that didn't give us the trophy. Whichever way you look at it, they still didn't win the World Cup. So in a way, yeah, it's redemption, definitely redemption. And to be able to, do it in the middle with Ross Taylor. I mean, Ross Taylor, he's also a sort of journeyman, right? And he is like the connecting link to that past generation of Stephen Fleming and
he certainly is. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, it is so befitting that these two were in the middle. They put on those runs, that 96-run partnership.
Let's turn our focus to India now, finally, Soam. And, we can start looking at the positives. There was, of course, Mohammad Shami's incredible 4-4. We've already mentioned this a little bit. We've also mentioned, Ashwin's delectable spell. I also thought Rohit looked in great touch in both innings, and you know, before he was dismissed well against the runner play in at least the first innings. Do you think he looks prepped for the big stuff going into the England series? And what else? What stood out for you?
Oh, yes. I mean, Rohit, I mean, the job of an opener is to make batting easier for the rest of the bats. I mean, that is the primary job.
Yeah.
At least I think so. And Rohit adds to that with his, you know, class. I mean, he can pull the ball, he can hook the ball. He has a fantastic drive. He may not have got a 50 off late, but I think he ticks all the boxes as an opener. Shubman Gill also comes across as a very confident batsman. I mean, he stands tall. I mean, he can pull the ball. He has a mighty pull. But I think outside the off stump in England, be it Rohit Sharma or Virat Kohli, as we saw yesterday, any batsman would be a little tentative. So you have to move along. I mean, you can't just say that, oh, they have to do well here. They have to either leave well or, you know, crunch, drive all the time. You can't do that. There will be moments of confusion. There will be hesitation. The bowlers will aim for those lines.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of luck as well, the England series, that you need someone to read the pitch well. So so I know that Ravi Shastri is probably the best pitch reader of in this team. But, you know, they need to get something spot on. They can't choose two spinners only to see conditions favoring the pacers more.
Correct. So that brings me to my next question, actually, right? Because, you know, over a series, the length of the one that we're going to play in England, there's a great chance that we're going to end up using a lot of players. But just, I want you to focus on Southampton for just one more second, which is, you did speak about the balance of this side and the fact that we went in with two spinners and you weren't very happy with it. Would you have rather have gone in with Mohammad Siraj, or would it have been that extra batsman in Vihari at six?
No, I think Vihari at six would have made more sense.
Then Siraj?
They should have gone with Hanuma Vihari after Pant as a cushion, probably.
Yeah.
But, you know, speaking in hindsight is a luxury that we have, they don't. Let us just leave it at that. I mean, India were bold with their selection. They were bold with their shot-making. They took their chances. And they lost to a better team at the end of the day.
Okay, fine. So, finally then, Soam, a lot has been made of India not using this really long gap now that the... You know, this one-off test, as you called it, the World Test Championship final in Southampton. And the gap between that and August, when the five-match test series against England starts. I mean, Gavaskar has been really vocal about it, even during commentary. What's your opinion of them, you know, kind of taking a break now and not playing warm-up games apart from those intra-squad matches?
I mean, that's a little contentious, actually, because you look at the squad right now. Hanuma Vihari has spent a lot of time in England recently.
Yeah, but didn't score too many runs, huh? Even in his time with Warwickshire, wasn't really scoring runs, except for that one game where he got a 50, I think, and a 30.
Right. But every experience counts. I mean, this is more about input, right? I mean, we now India know that, you know, Vihari can give input on, you know, specific regions, specific wickets, or whatever the situation demands. Let's also not forget Rahane had a stint in Hampshire in 2019 when the Indians were playing the World Cup. So we have a fair bit of experience, you know, when it comes to playing county cricket. Even Pujara had to, you know, derive their, you know, knowledge from that. I mean, Indians play so much cricket all throughout the year. It is probably unfair to, you know, ask them to, you know, go for some county games or go for some practice games during the middle. I mean, they know what's best for them. So, and we are looking at a very long season of cricket. We have five days,
right.
Then we have an IPL, then we have a World T20, then we probably have a series against New Zealand. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how the schedule will work out. But they're looking at a very long season. England, I don't know if the England test specialists are playing anything right now, but they are also taking a break after the two-match series against New Zealand. It works both ways. I mean, you can't exert too much pressure on the team. They know what works for them. Virat is a thorough competitor. I mean, having lost the series in 2018, he would want a win here. He wants a very close competition here. So he knows what's best for him, what's best for the team. So I don't think we should read too much into the lack of games.
Right. So essentially, Soham, you're saying that the Indian players have won their break. They've earned it. And so have you after covering this match for HT. So enjoy that one. And, you know, thanks for enlightening us on this podcast. We'll be back, of course. Rudra will be, you know, physically back for the next one, where we have a lot more to discuss beyond cricket. There's the Euro going on, of course, and also Wimbledon will start on Monday. So do tune in for that, folks. And until then, enjoy Kane Williamson's victory. Thank you very much.
This was an episode of A View from the Stands. Do like and follow us on at HT Smartcast on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, or write to us on podcasts@hindustantimes.com. You can listen to more podcasts by logging on to htsmartcast.com.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.